Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Welcome to My World. This is Dominique Beck here with you on the exciting Nevada caucus / South Carolina primary night, Saturday, February 20th. We are going to go over and discuss some of the results tonight, and I do hope you can all hear me as my phone is charging at this moment and the microphone is kind of face down on the charger, so please let me know on social media or when you call in if you're having a little trouble hearing me or if I'm sounding muffled, because I think that this is pretty important information to go over with all of you. So let's start out by, as I usually do, right, in my normal style, explaining things as if I were talking to kindergartners. Now, I'm sure that most of you who are listening know exactly what primaries and caucuses are and know the purpose of all of this, these wonderful pieces of democracy that affect our country in such a big way. But for those of you who are still new to the political process, I know that Bernie has really ramped up political interest and activity, and I'd be happy to explain to you, for those of you who are unaware, exactly what's going on tonight and why people are so interested and excited. I'm happy to explain what's happening. And if you would like, you can go back and listen to my Iowa caucus results program shows where I go into explicit detail about what delegates and superdelegates are, what they do, that sort of thing. Excuse me, allergies again, as always. That is obviously one of the constants in my life, and you can predictably know that it is me talking to you when I have allergies. I mean, you'll know it's me. I could not pretend to be anybody else if I wanted to. I know it's such an endearing quality. So without further ado, let's get to that information. So for those of you who are unaware, I'm going to explain a little bit about how the process works in the United States. So in the United States, basically, as many people as would like to run for president can run for president, and they can run on one of three party platforms. Basically, they can run for the Democratic nomination, they can run for the Republican nomination, and, of course, they can run for the Independent nomination. So we don't have any independents in the race right now, unless you count these nuts, and really whoever does. So we only have Republicans and Democrats in the race, and we have quite a few Republican contenders. I'm going to go ahead and list off the ones that are of some consequence still at this juncture, at this late, late juncture. And those candidates are Donald Trump, unfortunately, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, John Kasich, Jeb Bush, and sort of squeaking by is Ben Carson. Nobody really knows why he's still in the race. I'd love to explain that to you, but it would probably take a mental health professional with much more capability than I have and much more time and interest than I have to explain that state of affairs to you. So, again, any number of people who would like to run for the presidency of the United States can run. Now, to narrow down the fields a little bit, we hold primaries and caucuses. They're similar, basically the same thing. Primaries are where the votes are counted specifically from the voters, and caucuses are where groups of people vote like in one room and you count the percentages. Like if, 51% of the vote is for one candidate and 49% is for the other, that precinct goes with the 51%. So these are the means by which we narrow down the field on both sides of the aisle. Now, on the Democratic side of the aisle, there are, of course, only two candidates of consequence, and all others have politely and respectfully and understandably dropped out of the race. Those candidates that we have left, of course, are Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Now, it's been a really tight race with these two. So you can see why it is so important for the candidates to have all of their voters come out to the states that are hosting caucuses and primaries. The state that individual states host these caucuses and these primaries, some states caucus, some states primary. Nevada and Iowa are two that caucus. Illinois and South Carolina are two that primary. So now that you know the difference between those two processes, maybe you'll be able to understand a little bit better why they matter and what the similarities and differences are. So each state holds either a primary or a caucus, and they obviously count the votes. They count the delegates, the people that are delegated to have the responsibility of committing to caucus or primary for one candidate or the other. And then they have the superdelegates, which, as I said, I went into a lot more detail about this on my Iowa caucuses redux, my Iowa caucuses sort of post-mortem, postpartum, however you want to phrase that, episode. But basically, the superdelegates are people who are party professionals. They are members of the party. Oftentimes, they are big wig, you know, political hotshots, you know, somebody like, excuse me, for instance, Alan Grayson is a superdelegate for the Nevada caucuses. And somebody like, for instance, Bill Clinton would be a great superdelegate for obvious reasons. He's not in this race for obvious reasons, but, you know, old party, you know, political old hat professionals, you know, George Bush Sr. would be a great superdelegate. So the superdelegates now, unlike the regular delegates who are pledged to a certain candidate, the superdelegates can, now they normally don't, but they can change their mind as to who they're going to vote for. So they can cast their lot with Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton. Many of them have been pledged to Clinton. A couple of them have changed to Sanders. And that's been interesting because in Iowa, I believe, and I'm not looking at the numbers at this moment, I do have this information on my Iowa caucuses post-mortem analysis, but I believe that we had, and I say we, of course I slipped up there, but I say we because I am a Bernie supporter. Just full disclosure, I am a Bernie supporter. I'm feeling the burn. I have been for about 10 years, so there you go. I'm a hardcore Bernie supporter, always have been, probably always will be. But we started out in Iowa with, I believe, zero superdelegates. Then we moved on to New Hampshire with 7, I believe we had. And we keep picking up more as we go along. Now, because Clinton is sort of the corporate party favorite, and she is the favorite candidate of the establishment of the Democratic Party and the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, that obviously heads these campaigns and helps out their the people that are running for president in their party. She is the favorite there. She is the favorite. So it's understandable why she is receiving more of the superdelegates. It's understandable, but I think it's very telling that Bernie Sanders is coming ahead and actually getting more superdelegates each time we go along and each time we move on to a separate state. Now, it is going to be very interesting because we are moving on right now from the Nevada and South Carolina primary and caucus and primary, which we will address in a moment, but we're moving on to the what they call the Super Tuesday event, where a bunch of states caucus and primary on the same day, and the results roll in and basically tell us who is going to be the nominee for that party. So I would be very interested to see how many superdelegates Bernie has at the end of Super Tuesday, whether he wins or not. And I, of course, hope he does win. Again, full disclosure. But as I said, a superdelegate can change their mind. They can definitely pick up which way the wind is blowing, and I believe they did that moving into New Hampshire, and some of them went with Bernie. So let's move on and discuss the results. Now that you're all caught up and you know exactly what's going on, let's move on and discuss the results of tonight's primary and caucus. I apologize for leaving you with dead air there for a moment. As I mentioned at profuse length earlier, I'm struggling with allergies today, and I needed to grab some water and attend to that. So let's go ahead to the numbers. Now, the polls have not all closed, so we don't yet know where the delegates and superdelegates stand. because the polls have not all closed, and the counting hasn't all finished. So right now, we're going to move to the South Carolina primary first, and that is the Republican primary. The Democrats will hit South Carolina, I believe, next Saturday. So for those of you who are keeping track, know the Democrats did not participate in the South Carolina primary. That was only the Republican Party. And as it stands, we do not know where the pledged delegates and superdelegates lie. But we do know that coming in first place is Donald Trump with 31.76% of the vote. Coming in second place is Marco Rubio with 22.55%. And third place is Ted Cruz with 22.12%. Then, of course, there's Jeb Bush with 8.65%, John Kasich with 8.03%, and, of course, Ben Carson, hardly mentionable, with 6.87% of the vote. Now, let's talk a little bit about that before we move on. Does it mean just because one candidate, especially in this Republican race with so many contenders, that just because one candidate did not come in first place or second place that they're out of the race? No, it doesn't. Absolutely not. Now, I'll tell you something interesting. We did all think, and all of the polls said, if you look, you should all keep track of Real Clear Politics, by the way. Go to that website, Google it, realclearpolitics.com, I believe is the site. But you'll get the most up-to-date polling information, and you will be really, you'll be able to stay ahead of the curve. That's where I get some of my data for this show and just for the Facebook posts and educational tweets and things that I release and some of the scopes that I do on Periscope. So if you want to really stay ahead of the curve, go ahead and get yourself to realclearpolitics.com and check out their polling. It's not hard to understand. You don't have to be Nate Silver to get it. You don't have to be some real political policy wonk or numbers wonk. You can really just bite into it, and the everyday voter can understand it. So I would suggest that you get over to realclearpolitics.com. It is a wonderful, indispensably awesome website. And enough waxing on about Real Clear Politics. What I was going to say is that the real, I think, come-ahead winner tonight, and of course, Rubio and Cruz are tied for second place, basically, because if you heard the numbers as I was saying them and you paid attention, you would have heard that they both have 22% of the vote. They have, Rubio has 22.56%, whereas Cruz has 22.12%. Guys, that's a big deal. That is huge, okay? So really, the only evident losers tonight from the South Carolina Republican primary are, of course, Jeb Bush. Now, we knew that was going to happen. We knew he would have to wrap up his campaign. So Jeb Bush, John Kasich, and Ben Carson. But Rubio and Cruz are tied for second place with 75% of precinct reporting. Now, that is pretty unheard of. It's pretty interesting. With more than, say, 10 or 20% of the precinct reporting, that's pretty unheard of. So under Trump at 31.76% in obvious first place are Rubio and Cruz, who are basically tied. So Although normally at this point we do usually have two front runner candidates, right now we've got three. Right now we've got three for the Republican Party. And my personal hope, moving aside of, from just reporting and giving you the numbers, my personal hope, of course, would be that Donald Trump is not the nominee. I understand that some people feel that, you know, his campaign is so farcical, which it is, but people really do feel that his campaign is so farcical that if he wins, whoever the Democratic nominee is will just, you know, bulldoze him. Not true, guys. Go over to Young Turks. The Young Turks, TYT, on YouTube.com, TYT, The Young Turks. Go over there. Check it out. Also, check out the latest Quinnipiac polls. Hillary Clinton loses to Donald Trump, you guys. It is so important that Trump is not the nominee. And I feel that it is so incredibly important that Sanders is the nominee because Sanders beats out Trump by double-digit numbers. And I believe the lowest single-digit numbers that he had against any Republican candidate were like 7, 8%, and that's still a huge margin, a huge, huge margin when it comes to the actual general election. So it is so important that you get out and vote. If you're a Republican, knock that idiot Donald Trump out of there. Knock him out. Go vote. Use your voice. Go vote. If you're a Democrat, obviously vote with your conscience, but vote Sanders, in my opinion, if you want to see a real candidate that's going to actually have a good chance of winning. I know everybody's been saying that Clinton is the establishment candidate. She's got the best chance of winning. Not so. Again, check out the latest Quinnipiac polls. Check out the Young Turks on YouTube. You can really stay informed by watching the Young Turks, and you can really stay informed by, like I said, reading the latest polling on Real Clear Politics, which will, of course, factor in the Quinnipiac polls into their data. I believe they factor in very transparently, I might add, a number of sources as far as polling data is concerned. Now, for the Nevada Democratic Caucus, excuse me again, I apologize tonight for the allergies. You know, if the weather is changing, we're having an allergy attack, what can I say? So for the Nevada Democratic Caucus, and this isn't something I felt the need to report right away because you've all got this information by now. I figured I scheduled the show to start at 8:30 p.m. Central tonight because I figured numbers might be coming in for a while. No, pretty much they're already in. We've got 88% of precincts reporting in Nevada, and Clinton is the clear, if not huge, winner. She's got 52.5% of the vote, whereas Sanders has 47.4% of the vote. So, you know, that leaves, if my math is right, that leaves about 5.9% that is not... I mean, that's a 5.9% difference. That's not very much. In 88% of the precincts are reporting. I mean, that's not a big difference. That's not a big difference. And I hope my math is right. That was just mental math. You're welcome. I know. I'm very professional. So, you know, not a huge difference. And I do feel that, you know, a couple of things. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about why the numbers are what they are. So, right now, we were expecting to see Bernie Sanders, and certain polls were expecting to see Bernie Sanders at, I think, like 38% in Nevada because he, historically speaking, has not done as well with the minority voters throughout the election, throughout the primary election cycle. And, you know, he's closing in. So basically, if we round up, round down just slightly, it's a 50-50 margin. There's no 31-22 like Donald Trump and Rubio/Cruz, okay? There's no 31-22. It's 50-50. It is 52-47. So, again, that tells you how much your vote matters and how much your vote counts. Get out there and vote. Get out there and caucus. Go to the primaries. Guys, Super Tuesday is coming up on March 1st. Be accountable. You've just seen, and check out my Facebook page, facebook.com/DominiqueMoniqueMiller, and really check out my page because I released some very interesting information that I found while I was watching Periscope, looking for the numbers and looking for people's experiences with voting today. And I found that at least in one precinct, there was literally a 3-person difference between whether that precinct reported for Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. Now, this precinct ended up going with Bernie, but they, if those 3 people had not showed up to vote, it would have been Hillary's precinct and she would have won by a larger margin. So it is incredibly important. I cannot stress this enough. It is so important that you get out there and use your voice and vote and just use that voice that so many people have fought and died for you to have, okay? Use that right that so many people have fought and died for you to have. Use it. Go out and vote. If you're not registered, you can become registered. Simply go to your state's government website and look it up, or even just Google, how do I register to vote in New York, Nevada, New Jersey, what have you. It is so incredibly important. So, that being said, and letting that sink in, we're going to recheck the numbers here, make sure nothing has shifted, nothing has changed, okay, and nothing has, surprise, surprise. But let's get in a little bit further to why the numbers look like they do, especially on the Democratic side for Nevada tonight. So, Hillary Clinton had a real lead going with, you know, black and brown people, really, and with women even, and with people who were making under $200,000. Well, now that's done. Bernie's got the under $200,000 market pretty much cornered, although, and he is actually eroding Hillary's lead with black and brown people and people that are quote-unquote, I mean, we're really not, but quote-unquote minorities, women, black and brown people, you know, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, you know, no, we're not all, we're not minorities anymore, people, okay? So let's just let that be known. But really, Bernie is eroding Hillary's lead there. He is. And you can see that because he has received 47% of the vote tonight in Nevada, a transient state where there are not a lot of permanent residents, where there are a lot of black and brown voters, where there are a lot of LGBTQI voters, okay? So let that sink in. Again, I think that's a huge deal. So we cannot count anyone out just yet, Bernie or Hillary. It's a very, very tough race. It's a very, very tough race. And right now, as I said, Bernie is eroding her lead with that voter base. Of course, Hillary is now really doing well with people that make over $200,000 a year. And why is that? Well, of course, Bernie Sanders' tax plan, the increases start if you make $251,000, I believe it is. So, of course, you can see why those people are going to vote for Hillary. Now, if I were in that group, and sadly I'm not, I would certainly just want to pay my fair share of taxes so that other people could get the opportunities that I now have. But not everybody sees it that way. And, of course, not everybody understands that. Not everybody gets that. Not everybody really understands that taxes are a necessity and that they go to things like our schools, our roads, our health care, our Social Security, our Medicare, our Medicaid, our country's safety, you know, taking care of our veterans, taking care of our old people. People don't always look at it that way. They just see money coming out of their pocket, especially wealthier people, unfortunately. I mean, it's a known fact, especially wealthier people view it that way. But really, so you can see the difference is all I'm telling you. I'm not trying to crap on anybody who makes a lot of money. And if you do, good for you. Congratulations. As long as you're paying your fair share, you will not hear anything from me about it. But you can see why those individuals are coming out, especially in a state like Nevada, to support Hillary. But I still think that her lead being eroded to that extent, that 47% of the vote so far has gone to Bernie Sanders in Nevada, this transient state that is made up of so many minority voters, I think that that shows that she'd better watch out. And of course, his numbers have been getting progressively better since Iowa with minority voters. So right there, we're going to have to consider him competition, okay? Hillary voters and Hillary supporters, guess what? You got to consider this guy to be competition, because he is, and you can't count him out. And truly, I'm very interested to see how he does in South Carolina next Saturday, because if his numbers keep improving this way, she could very well have a run for her money. Now, South Carolina is an extremely important primary for both parties. It is often a make-or-break primary, which hilariously was hilariously illustrated by Jeb Bush this past week, somebody who quite obviously was not going to place very well. He was saying how important the South Carolina primaries were. And, of course, anybody who supported him was sitting there watching him going, shut up, shut up, shut up. Like, don't say that. You're going to be forced to drop out of the race because you're not even going to place third in South Carolina. Then, of course, Ted Cruz was, I mean, these monstrous egos on the Republican side are just farcical and absolutely entertaining to watch. So Ted Cruz was heard to be saying that if he didn't place, I believe, at least second, if not first, that things were just going to be over. And I thought, well, my gosh, what kind of a monstrous ego does he have? It's quite obvious. All the polls showed that Donald Trump was going to very likely place first. And guess what, guys? He did. Surprise, surprise. So it is just so simultaneously entertaining and horrifying to watch these monstrous egos at play. It is simultaneously entertaining and horrifying, I tell you. So we're still waiting for live data to come in. We still have zero delegate, superdelegate information coming in. We don't know who the superdelegates have pledged to, and we don't know where the pledged delegates actually stand either. But as we get that information, we will report it. And as we get that information, it will give us a lot more of an idea of what the candidates are going to be looking like in the Democratic primary heading into South Carolina. I did watch some of the speeches just to go over a couple of points and see if there was anything particularly interesting or of note that should be noted here during this broadcast. But, you know, there isn't too much. It was pretty much the basic stump speech. And, of course, Hillary, I noticed, tailored her kind of victory speech to, minority voters, of course, because she's coming out of Nevada and she's coming into South Carolina, where there are obviously a large number of minority and poorer voters there as well. So she's definitely tailoring her message to a specific socioeconomic status. She's tailoring her message specifically to minority voter base that she hopes to maintain and encourage to grow. And, you know, to me, it just as a voter, not as someone reporting the news, and I like that I can come to you as both of those things, wearing both of those hats, but to me, as a voter, I find it, when I watch some of her speeches, I find her to be a tad disingenuous. I don't feel the message behind the words, and I often question whether she does either. Now, of course, you have to be smart if you're a candidate, and you have to go after certain portions of your voter base, and you have to go after voters that you haven't won over. But it all strikes me as a little bit disingenuous, especially when she really goes after, as I said, the minority voters and the lower income voters. It comes across a little bit forced. And in my mind, I just can't reconcile what she's saying with her being paid these huge speaking fees with Goldman Sachs. I can't reconcile in my mind what she's saying with her being so deeply in bed with the corporate donors that she has on Wall Street. I just, it doesn't ring true to me. And I wish it did, because I genuinely want to like Hillary. I do. I really do. Probably because I'm a woman. Probably because in certain ways, I really liked Bill Clinton. And when even as a young girl, I became interested in politics when Bill Clinton was running. So I want to like her. It's not that I have anything against her. Now, with Bernie Sanders, let's talk about some of the things that are problematic with his campaign. And there are a few, and I don't think much of it is anything that is really of his making or of his doing, but right now he is really having a problem with black and brown voters, minority voters of all sorts, actually. He is, and I don't know where this is coming from, because factually it is just simply false. Historically, it's false, but it's been said by many a political pundit, and believe me, I pay attention, that basically they're saying, Bernie, great, you protested in the civil rights movement, you were at the, at the pinnacle of that movement. That's great, wonderful. But that was in the 60s. Well, what have you done for us lately? And, to me, that just doesn't ring true. It seems like a very odd way to sort of phrase the question, because I'll tell you what he's done for people lately. He's kept his state safe and above water, and he's been a wonderful senator, and he's always voted for the interest of immigrants and for the interest of black and brown people and for the interest of people that don't make as much money as the wealthier individuals in this nation. For instance, Hillary has really gone after him, and this is an instance, of course, of sort of the disingenuous nature, I think, of this problem or this issue. Now, Hillary has really gone after Bernie Sanders for vetoing an immigration act several years back. And I believe they were both in the Senate at the time that this came around. Hillary voted for it. Well, what she doesn't tell you is that this immigration act actually took very, very, a disgusting amount of advantage of workers that were coming in from other countries, basically allowing them to work for slave wages. They would have to be treated like slaves by their corporate bosses. They would really have to jump through any hoop that their corporate bosses designed for them. And, the only people coming out ahead if this bill had been passed would be the corporations, not the immigrants. So there you go, right there. I don't think that is an example of Bernie not caring about immigrants or black or brown people. I think that's a perfect example, in fact, conversely, of Hillary caring only for the wealthier class and not caring for immigrants and not caring for minorities and not caring for black and brown people. So but to me, that it's ludicrous to say that is an example of why Bernie doesn't care. I think that's absolutely an example of why Hillary doesn't care. So Bernie went with his heart knowing that he may be picked apart later on and that this decision may be, as I said, picked apart and focused on and looked at through a microscope for quite a long time to come. He went ahead and still said, no, I'm not going to vote for this. I'm not going to allow this to be made into law. This is not what America's about. And of course, Hillary voted for it and would have supported it fully. So this is, in my opinion, the kind of president you want. Bernie Sanders, somebody who is likely to actually read the bills that he's voting for and look through and say, okay, great, here's a great, for instance, transportation or jobs bill that's being proposed. But oh, look, we've got some really interesting pieces in this legislation that don't seem to fit, like that our workers are going to be taken advantage of by their corporate bosses and that they don't have any rights and that they don't have any say over what they get to do once they come here and start working. Or, there have been transportation bills that have been brought to the floor in the past that have included some really heinous tax provisions. I mean, the bill had nothing to do with taxes. So I think it's so important to have somebody who is looking out for us, who's going to actually read through each provision within these giant bills and say, okay, you know what? This doesn't work for me. This doesn't work for me. This part isn't pertinent. This part is going to be damaging or harmful to my citizens, and I'm not going to allow it to pass. Whereas Hillary is being bought by corporate donors and K Street lobbyists who really, it's in their best interest if the bill gets passed. So they'll donate and donate and donate and threat to withdraw funding from her if she doesn't stick with them. Why chance having somebody like that in the Oval Office? That's all I'm saying. So it's very important that we don't get carried away with the negative attack ads and things like that, and that we look at the actual numbers and look at the actual history that these candidates have and the actual beliefs that they stand for. Bernie Sanders has and really maintained pretty darn similar, if not exactly uniform beliefs over the years. He's been in politics for like 40 years now. He was the mayor of Burlington, then he became a congressperson, then he became a senator, and he has consistently voted in favor of the issues that he cares about and that his constituents care about. And he has consistently represented his constituents and represented them well. Hillary has evolved and devolved and flip-flopped and changed her mind on so many different issues, so many different times that this is a problem, and this isn't just my opinion, but this is something that the voters are talking about, that they're just not sure that they can trust her to maintain a real strong position on important issues when it comes down to the wire. And that is, I think, a valid criticism, a valid argument. It's just a nuanced race, and I've been saying this for so long in my writing and my social media posts and my scopes on Periscope and all of that. I've been saying this for a long time now. We've got to eliminate the vitriol and we've got to eliminate the divisiveness from our vocabularies, from our mindsets, especially, the Democrats right now. We're not a party that's usually at each other's throat to this extent. I mean, we can be self-cannibalizing in that if we don't get exactly what we want. For instance, we didn't get single payer instead of Obamacare, so we all, decided to point fingers about that. Look, I agree, we should have single payer, but Obamacare was a darn good step in that direction. It works. It's a great start. It's a great stepping stone. So I think we can be self-cannibalizing and a little bit too self-critical in those ways, but we're not usually a party that rips into each other and is vitriolic and hateful and nasty and engages in backbiting and, that sort of unhelpful rhetoric. But apparently we are now, and I think that's just awful. So Clinton supporters, Sanders supporters, back to your corners. It's time to look at the facts, have honest, genuine, just heartfelt, respectful discussions with your fellow Democratic voters. Crapping on each other and, you know, whooping on each other and trying to prove a point at all costs, even when you're not sure you're right because other people have told you that that is what you should think, is irresponsible. And it's hateful and it's nasty and it needs to stop. If either candidate is going to win against a Republican nominee, this needs to stop. It does. So that is my message to the Democratic voters on either side of the aisle, on either side of the divide, shall we say. Of course, we all know, apparently a few Republicans out there do not know this, but I think it's safe to say that most of us rational-minded, sensible people realize that if Trump were elected president, that would be an absolute national disaster. It would be a travesty. It would be horrible. So before we start ripping into each other and trying to one-up each other and grasping onto the candidate of choices, campaign slogans and little barbs that are slung here and there, before we start all of that, I would urge all of us to think about why we're upset. Have we been led, like Fox News viewers, to think that a certain issue is supposed to upset us? Have we been led to think that a certain fact is correct when it's not? Before you start saying things that you may regret, before you start being hateful and vitriolic and just basically being a shill for your candidate, whoever it may be, I would urge you to think about this. Do your research. Sit down and think your opinions through. And of course, this, and I think this is the really big point that I want to drive home and I think end this episode on. Please understand that anytime you come across another Democrat who doesn't agree with you about an issue, that person is not just a paid shill. They're likely somebody who, well-intentioned and misinformed or otherwise, holds a genuine belief. So before you start going after them saying, oh, you're a, you know, Bernie bro or whatever the term is right now for, trolls for Hillary, please consider that the person or persons you're talking to actually hold a deeply held, genuine, organic belief that what they think is correct. Instead of assuming that that person is a troll or a paid shill, why not go out on a limb, give that Democrat the benefit of the doubt, and assume that their beliefs are true and deeply held? Rather than being divisive and writing that person off and making a summary judgment about who they are and simply adding to the vitriol and adding to the hatred, that's all I'm saying. Why not try to look at it that way instead? Because we're not getting anywhere when we operate like this, guys. And I think that we're better than this. I think that we're better than this as Democrats. So, you know, that's the note I'm going to leave you on tonight. If you want a strong candidate who is going to beat Donald Trump, if he's the eventual nominee, or beat whatever Republican nominee we have, because as Sanders and Clinton and both of their camps have said numerous times, either of those candidates would be imminently more qualified to run this country than any of the Republican candidates. So before we get hateful and nasty and up the ante with the rhetoric and the divisiveness, I would suggest thinking of it that way, being diplomatic, being respectful at the very least, and assuming that the person or persons you're talking to actually holds a true and deeply held belief. You know, argue respectfully, argue on the facts, and be kind to one another. Be respectful to one another. You don't want to burn any bridges because of this. You're going to have to work together later. Don't burn bridges. Don't burn bridges. Because I'll tell you something, the only people that are out to burn bridges and that are comfortable doing things like that really are paid trolls. So unless you want to come across like you truly are a paid shill or a paid troll, then I would urge you not to burn bridges and not to be nasty with each other, because we've got an important fight ahead of us. So that is where I'm going to leave you. Again, let's recap before I let you go. The number is today, without knowing where the superdelegates or the pledged delegates stand at this moment in time, the South Carolina Republican primary, with 75% of precincts reporting, show that Trump is the by far the leader in first place with 32.57% of the vote. Rubio and Cruz are basically tied for second place. Rubio has 22.45% of the vote, and Cruz has 22.14% of the vote. Bush comes in fourth place with 7.96% of the vote. Kasich in fifth with 7.75% of the vote, and Carson in last place with 7.13% of the vote. Now moving on again to the Democratic Nevada caucus with 88% of precincts reporting in. We've got Clinton in the lead. It's still a basic 50-50 split, but Clinton is about 5 points ahead of Sanders. She's got 52.5% of the vote, and Sanders has 47.4% of the vote. So right now, the winners of today's primary and caucus, as it stands, are Trump and Clinton. So these are the numbers. Now, of course, if Clinton were to battle Trump in the general election today, she would lose. As the polls stand, she would lose. So I'll leave you with that thought. Sanders would win. I mean, look, I've already told you where I stand and what my feelings are about the candidates. So all I'll tell you now is go out and vote. It's so important. It is crucially important. And for those of you who say that it's not important, as I said, three people decided a precinct tonight in Nevada. Three people. Three voters. And if you still don't believe me, I would urge you to ask Al Gore if your vote counts, okay? That's all I'm saying. Hanging chads, people, okay? So I thank you for tuning in, and I hope to catch up with you next Saturday and then again on Super Tuesday. And hopefully between times we will have some great Best in Show episodes about some of the other great TV shows that are on air today. Thank you for tuning in to Welcome to My World. This has been Dominique. Have a wonderful evening.